Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Think you know all about Cleveland? Think again and get ready to learn much more about Cleveland. Listen to the latest episodes of Destination Cleveland's podcast, Legends of the Land. We're talking to locals and experts to uncover answers to those burning questions we get asked about the land. Get the real story behind all things Cleveland. From its rich history to the hidden gems, there's so much to explore. Tune in on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you find your podcasts. Discover a side of Cleveland you never knew.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. Thank you so very much for taking the time to listen. I do appreciate you. And as always, feel free to reach out, Jeff, at beekeepingfornewbies.com. That's N-E-W-B-E-E-S.com. All right. So today we have got Bees in the News, episode 22. And I figure this might be as good a time as any to kind of update y'all on a couple of things before I jump into the articles. Normally, I kind of save all the personal updates for the Bee Buzz, but I'm just not sure how it's all going to shake out and what's going on. But just to keep you guys in the loop, for those of you who aren't in the U.S., been living under a rock, maybe you're in a foreign country, the hurricane that recently came through the southeast was extremely catastrophic for a lot of people, particularly those in the western portions of North Carolina, southeast Virginia, you know, northwestern South Carolina, all through the Appalachian Mountains. And, you know, the way that I'm wired, man, I can't just sit around and be like, wow, that really stinks. So I'm actively making preparations to get equipment, personnel, people, and a few other things. So I'm going to have a couple of weeks of some logistics things you got to do. You know, with these things, a lot of people are like, I'm going to go right now. I want to be a part of it. And they jump in their trucks and they go there and they sit in a roadblock for 4 weeks until everything gets opened up to where they can go in and do something. That doesn't do anybody any good. So I'm going to take the next couple of weeks and get things together, get things organized, get contact with the folks who need the help, and then, you know, see what we can do. I mean, I have this vision of like 23, 24 year old me, you know, throwing a pack on and, you know, marching through the mountains and trying to find people and all that kind of stuff. But 50-year-old me is not going to do that, but we can definitely find the right resources, find the right people, get them engaged and do everything we can to try to help these folks get back to a normal life. So that is absolutely going to have an impact on the podcast, future episodes, all of that. But as long as everything progresses the way that I think it might, I'm definitely going to bring cameras. I'll bring recording stuff and maybe we'll shift over and kind of cover that a little bit while I'm down there. And we'll see how it goes. But without further ado, let's jump into episode 22. So as always, these articles are going to be linked on the Beekeeping for Newbies homepage under In the News. And this article comes to us from Brandon down in Alabama. Roll Tide. Red pepper spill on California highway turns into beemergency. A red pepper spill on a California highway turned into a beemergency situation after a signpost struck by the truck carrying the produce was found to contain a massive hive. The California's Highway Patrol Santa Maria responded alongside the Santa Maria Fire Department when a semi-truck pulling a flatbed trailer overturned on Highway 101 Wednesday morning and spilled its load of red peppers across the lanes of traffic. Crews working to remove the wreckage and clean up the crushed red pepper discovered a sign pole that had been struck and damaged by the truck contained thousands of bees whose hive was now exposed to the elements. Robert Diaz from Swarm Catchers was summoned to the scene and used a special vacuum to safely gather the bees for relocation. Talk about a sweet rescue. The CHP, California Highway Patrol, wrote on social media, "Thanks for making sure things didn't get too sticky out there, Robert." All right, it's like a lot of good fun puns there. No injuries were reported from the crash or the ensuing bee rescue. Okay, so the next article comes to us out of Rapid City, South Dakota. Veterans harvest honey with beekeeping organization. Last year, South Dakota produced 18.4 million pounds of honey and was ranked the second state for honey production. Hives for Heroes was responsible for 110 of those pounds. The nonprofit organization got to work on Saturday to harvest honey for the year with hopes of improving numbers from last year. Unfortunately, with such a hot summer in the Black Hills area, it was unlikely numbers would be matched. This year, we had queen problems in the spring, and we didn't have any brood buildup, and then again, it's back to the heat. No nectar flow. They brought in some pollen, but we just did not get the buildup of the brood that we should have had this year. It's not just a local thing here at the Bee Yard. It's all over. It was just a terrible year for bees, said Slim Buckley of Rapid City's Parks Division. Buckley has his hives at home and said the problems occurred at his hives as well as the hives of others he knows. This is the second year of the Hives for Heroes organization. The nonprofit is nationwide and focuses on sustainability conservation. Mentors are paired with veterans to teach them the art of beekeeping. Brian Muschino is a beekeeper in Sturgis and oversees the Rapid City Project. The collection started at the hives located behind Rapid City's Parks Maintenance Facility. The group suited up and got to work collecting the combs that held the honey. Then they took what they collected indoors to keep the bees out. From there, they were able to extract the honey and bottle it up. Alita Leeknecht has been working with bees for 3 months and said she began as a way to get out of the house during the day before her night shifts. She said that not only has she learned about the bees and what they do, but also about herself. I've learned a lot about how to control your own emotions, I guess. The bees really feed off your energy, so I come into this really anxious a lot. I know beforehand I need to do that self-meditation aspect and calm myself down before I get closer to the bees so they can't pick up on that energy, Leeknecht said. Buckley said working with the program was just one way he could give back to the veterans and that without the help of donations from the city of Rapid City and members of the community, it would not be possible. All right, so again, that was coming to us out of South Dakota. Next on the list is coming to us out of Tennessee. Leave the Leaves for Healthy Yards, supporting butterflies, bees. Are you looking for a great reason to skip the leaf blowing, raking, and leaf collection hassle of fall? Or a reason to at least reduce your work? If you love the butterflies, bumblebees, and other pollinators of summer, look no further. Most species of pollinators spend the cold months dormant, resting peacefully in cocoons mixed with leaf litter, wrapped in a leafy tent, or in the dried, hollow stem of plants. Bumblebee queens burrow just an inch or so into the soil beneath the leaves that insulate them against the cold. The more leaves from trees and other plants you can keep, as nature would, the more pollinators will awaken in your yard in the spring. Avoid chopping or mulching leaves for reasons which are probably apparent now. You can choose to gather leaves into a corner of your yard or rake them under the canopy of a tree where they fell. You can choose how many leaves to remove and how many to keep and how many pollinators to keep along with them. For more information on making your yard a haven for butterflies, bees, native plants, and to register your yard, visit Healthy Yards of Clarksville, Montgomery County. So the next article here, it's coming from ZMEScience.com. I don't see where it says a specific city mentioned here or where the research was done, but maybe I'll be able to track that down when I actually put together some notes here later on. But bees have irrational biases when choosing which flowers to feed on, just like human shoppers do. Just like people confronted with a sea of options at the grocery store, bees foraging in meadows encounter many different flowers at once. They must decide which ones to visit for food, but it isn't always a straightforward choice. Flowers often offer two types of food, nectar and pollen, which can vary in important ways. Nectar, for instance, can fluctuate in concentration, volume, refill rate, and accessibility. It also contains secondary metabolites such as caffeine and nicotine, which can be neither disagreeable or appealing depending on how much is present. Similarly, pollen contains proteins and lipids which affect nutritional quality. When confronted with these choices, you'd think bees would always pick the flowers with the most accessible, highest quality nectar and pollen, but they don't. Instead, just like human grocery shoppers, their decisions about which flowers to visit depend on their recent experience with similar flowers and what other flowers are available. I find these behaviors fascinating. My research looks at how animals make daily choices, especially when looking for food. It turns out that bees and other pollinators make the same kind of irrational shopping decisions humans make. Predictably irrational. Humans are sometimes illogical. For instance, someone who wins $5 on a scratch ticket immediately after winning $1 on one will be thrilled, whereas that same person winning $5 on a ticket might be disappointed if they're coming off of a $10 win. Even though the outcome is the same, perception changes depending on what came before. Perceptions are also at play when people assess product labels. For instance, a person may expect an expensive bottle of wine with a fancy French label to be better than a cheap, generic-looking one. But if there's a mismatch between how good something is and how good someone expects it to be, they may feel disproportionately disappointed or delighted. Humans are also very sensitive to the context of their choice. For example, people are more likely to pay a higher price for a television when a smaller, more expensive one is also available. These irrational behaviors are so predictable, companies have devised clever ways to exploit these tendencies when pricing and packaging goods, creating commercials, stocking shelves, and designing websites and apps. Even outside of a consumer setting, These behaviors are so common that they influence how politicians design public policy and attempt to influence voting behavior. Research shows bumblebees and humans share many of these behaviors. A 2005 study found bees evaluate the quality of nectar relative to their most recent feeding experience. Bees trained to visit a feeder with medium quality nectar accepted it readily, whereas bees trained to visit a feeder with higher quality nectar often rejected medium quality nectar. My team and I wanted to explore whether floral traits such as scents, colors, and patterns might serve as a product label for bees. In the lab, we trained groups of bees to associate certain artificial flower colors with high quality nectar, actually a sugar solution we could manipulate. For example, we trained one group to associate blue flowers with high quality nectar. We then offered that group medium quality nectar in either blue or yellow flowers. We found that bees were more willing to accept the medium quality nectar from yellow flowers than they were from blue. Their expectations mattered. In another recent experiment, we gave bumblebees a choice between two equally attractive flowers, one high in sugar concentration but slower to refill, and one quick to refill but contains less sugar. We measured their preference between the two, which was similar. We then expanded the choice by including a third flower that was even lower in sugar concentration or even slower to refill. We found that at the presence of the new low-reward flower made the intermediate one appear relatively better. These results are intriguing and suggest for both bees and other animals, available choices may guide foraging decisions. Potential uses. Understanding these behaviors in bumblebees and other pollinators may have important consequences for people. Honeybees and bumblebees are used commercially to support billions of dollars of crop production annually. If bees visit certain flowers more in the presence of other flowers, farmers could use this tendency strategically. Just as stores stock shelves to present unattractive options alongside attractive ones, farmers could plant certain flower species in or near crop plants to increase visitation to the target crops. So anyway, I thought that was kind of a pretty cool article. Very interesting. Okay, and this is last but not least, and yet as you have probably seen from the past, we do occasionally bring in a sports team. We had the Minot Honeybees at one point. I think we had the Salt Lake team. Now, as you guys know, the Minot Honeybees never got back to us when we reached out to them. The Salt Lake City Bees, those guys, I think they relocated. They're closing down the stadium downtown, and they are moving to the suburbs. But today, we got a new one. I had to do a little bit of research here to make sure I had accurate information. But in the Syracuse, New York area, I think this is going to be a suburb called Baldwinsville, and it is Baldwinsville Central School District. So I guess it's going to be maybe like Baldwinsville High School. I'm not sure how they break down all the districts here. But today, we're talking about the Baldwinsville Bees. So this is the high school team here. Field hockey Bees earn victories over Auburn and Fayetteville Manlius. Out of central New York here, one common trait throughout the early position of the Baldwinsville field hockey season was its struggles to find a consistent offensive rhythm regardless of the quality of the opponent. Such adversity was found again in last Monday's match against Auburn before a third quarter surge with a pair of goals allowed the Bees to get away and beat the Maroons 3-0. It was just 1-0 at halftime before Beeville struck twice, led again by Abigail Mantione, who netted one goal and added an assist. The other goals going to Riley Ratchwall and Leah Khalil. Hope I got those names right. Auburn managed just two shots all night. Back in league action Wednesday to face Fayetteville Manlius, the Bees overcame another brilliant individual effort from the Hornets' Carly Bryant and pulled out a 3-2 victory. These two teams had met just 11 days earlier at Pelchay Arcaro Stadium and had gone to overtime before Beeville pulled out the 2-1 win, all the motivation that FM needs for the rematch. Bryant, who entered the game with 12 goals, added goals 13 and 14 to that total, which on most days may have proved enough, but everything else got turned back by a busy Beeville defense constantly under attack. Stopping 18 of the 20 shots she faced, goalie Chloe Butler inspired the rest of the Bees, especially Mantione, who put in her own pair of goals and got help from Khalil, who also converted. These wins move the Bees' overall record to 4-3, but to stay above the 500 mark, Beeville would have to prevail at Camden on Friday night. It did not quite happen, with the Blue Devils prevailing 2-1 by equaling Mantione's first quarter goal with one from Cameron Schenk, with Schenk returning to convert again in the second period. Throughout the entire second half, Beeville had the opportunities to pull back even but could not get anything more past Camden goalie Alyssa Vera, whose six saves equaled that of Butler. A quiet week follows for Beeville, with only a non-league game this Friday against Vernon Verona Sherrill before the rest of the league slate gets underway. So there it is for the Beeville Bees, and you know, I wish them all the best up there in the northern, I guess it's northern New York, like the Syracuse area. All right, everybody, so that's all that I've got for you today. So as always, take care, be kind to one another. Remember that I love you. There's nothing you can do about it. We'll talk to you soon.
I was running, until I wasn't. My hospital stay would have cost nearly $48,000, even with insurance. But with VA, I'll pay zero. And VA is the best, most affordable healthcare in America for veterans like me. Knowing that my family is waiting at home and a surprise medical bill isn't, that's good for my heart. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Think you know all about Cleveland? Think again and get ready to learn much more about Cleveland. Listen to the latest episodes of Destination Cleveland's podcast, Legends of the Land. We're talking to locals and experts to uncover answers to those burning questions we get asked about the land. Get the real story behind all things Cleveland. From its rich history to the hidden gems, there's so much to explore. Tune in on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you find your podcasts. Discover a side of Cleveland you never knew.